Good afternoon and happy Sabbath, brethren. It's nice to be with all of you here today. And I'd also like to extend a warm welcome out to all those who are listening in on the broadcast or the streaming services we have. I know that sometimes people can't be with us here today, and some people it's impossible for them to get here, and it's such a great service that we have, being able to stream this. I know I've used it a number of times when I'm sick, and I've been very grateful for it. Well, brethren, let's start out right away by turning to our first scripture. Let's turn over to Leviticus 19, and we're going to start reading in verse 9. Leviticus 19, and we'll start reading in verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. You shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyards, neither shall you gather every grape of your vineyard, for you shall leave some for the poor and the stranger, for the poor and the stranger, for I am the Lord your God." Now, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 24. There's kind of a sister scripture there, and it actually, it says it a little different and probably has a little bit extra that it adds to it. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy 24, and we'll start reading in verse 19. Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. When you cut down your harvest in the field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thy work of, your hands. So God's tying a blessing to this. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. In verse 22, "And you shall remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command you to do this thing." Now, brethren, this is not a tithe, what God's commanding here for the nation of Israel, what they're supposed to do. This is separate. This is part of an overall social program that God had put together and set up for Israel, a system that would help people when they were in need. And God wanted to make sure that those who he had given the land to that had wealth left something for those who had little or none. They did not, that those people would not oppress those that had little or had none. Verse 22 tells us, "Remember that you were a bondman in Egypt." It is a principle. God freed the Israelites from bondage, made them his people, and God wanted his people to remember who they were, where they had come from, and that they had a responsibility to help others, just like God had helped them. Pay it forward, if you will. Now, there's a story in the Bible of a family that was in need and were able to benefit from this exact program that God put in place for his nation. And let's take a quick look at that. So let's turn over to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3. So Ruth 2 and verse 3. Now, a little background. Ruth was a Moabite, but she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, an Israelite, and a widow. And they lived in Moab, and when Ruth's husband died, she followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Israel, and they went to Bethlehem in the middle of the harvest. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 2 of verse 1. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech." So Elimelech was Naomi's husband's family, or her husband. "And his name was Boaz," so that was her kinsman. "And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, 'Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' And when she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, her hap was to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Lord, the Lord be with you. And they answered, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz to his servants that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued even from morning until now and tarried a little in the house. So Ruth used this command to provide for herself and her mother-in-law in their time of need. And she worked hard using this to accomplish that. Now, as a side note, Ruth ends up catching Boaz's eye, and they end up married. And as told by Matthew, she actually becomes part of the lineage of Christ. It's an interesting story, but I wanted to read this scripture not because of that, but because it just shows that it was an actual practice that was in place, and it really did help people in the land, leaving a little in the fields, leaving the corners ungleaned, not beating their olive trees. So, brethren, I ask you today, do we glean the corners of our fields? Do we glean the corners of our fields? Now, most, if not all of us, don't physically have fields or vineyards or olive groves to harvest. Most of us work for a living, or at one point in time have worked for a living. We're working for a company, or we're taking care of our families, working in the home. We trade in currency, hard dollars, right? The greenback. That's how we're able to take care of our families and our societies. So then what are our fields? Well, our fields are our time and our resources. That is what we have that we can help others with, our time and our resources. Some of us may have more time than money, and some of us may have more money than time. It just depends on our personal situation. But ask anyone who runs a charity, and they will tell you that both are equally as important to accomplishing the charter of that charity. Without volunteers to donate money and resources, you can't accomplish much with just time. And without volunteers to donate time, you can't accomplish much without money and resources, or with the money and resources, because they'll just be sitting there. You need both. So whatever our fields are, brethren, time or money or other resources, are we following this important principle that God commanded? Are we leaving some of our harvest behind for others? Or are we making sure we get every corner of our field, beat the boughs of our olive trees twice, glean our vineyards a second time, get everything for ourselves? Or again, do we leave something for others? Now, if we want to honor this principle of giving and helping others, how can we leave the corners of our field ungleaned today? Well, Deuteronomy 24 tells us over and over that the reason that we don't glean the corners of our fields or our vines or completely beat our olive trees is it's for the stranger, the fatherless, the widows, those who don't have an inheritance in the land, the poor. So let's look back at Deuteronomy 24:19 again, just real quick. 24:19. I just want to recommit this to us. In the middle of the scripture there, 19, it says, It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. In 20, it says, It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And in 21, it says, It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and the widows. So God tells us to remember in verse 22 that we were bondsmen, that we were bondservants, slaves in Egypt. Sometimes it can be hard to remember for us that we were once, you know, slaves. We were slaves to sin, right? But we have so much now, and sometimes it can be hard for us to empathize or remember. But God showed us kindness, and He wants us, in turn, to show others kindness. And it doesn't really matter if people use the kindness that we show them to better themselves. I mean, I hope it does. We should try and do it in a way that it does help people better themselves. But it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. That's not our job. God doesn't put conditions on it. He just says to do it. So how do we do this in our personal lives today? Well, the possibility of fulfilling this scripture in our lives is almost endless. There are so many people that have so many different needs. But I'm going to give you just a few examples of some things that I know of that are being done. You know, right here at church with our spiritual family, around the Feast of Tabernacles, there's an opportunity that we have to participate in helping with feast baskets or the festival fund. We have this opportunity to donate from our resources, our time, or our money to help brighten the lives of those who can't travel to the feast, or maybe they could travel but just don't have the resources to do it. We're, by not reaping every last bit out of the corners of our fields, we can help spiritually uplift and physically and spiritually help feed those who need help getting to the feast or can't make it there. As we mentioned earlier, the broadcast that we do here every Saturday, the streaming broadcast, there are people in the congregation that donate their time. They're not beating their olive tree the second time. They're leaving something for others, people's spiritual needs that have a difficult time or in some cases an impossible time making it to church. And there are plenty of other people who serve in the church and do wonderful things like that as well, helping others. I don't want to leave them out, but I can't mention everything in this short sermonette. But what about in our local communities? God says that this is also for the stranger. I'll bring up the Teen Weekend that's coming up pretty soon here on President's Day weekend this year. The teens are going to get together, not just in our congregation, but from other areas, and they're going to participate in church services here, go to Mr. Miller's house, and I'm not sure all the activities they're going to have, but I'm sure they're going to have a lot of fun. But last year during the Teen Weekend, the teens helped the Friends of the Homeless of Tuscarawas County by doing service work at their shelter, and which is giving of their time, one of their fields, and by voluntary donations of goods to the shelter, resources. Now, was anyone at that shelter converted to God's way of life because of what they did? Well, does that really matter? God, again, doesn't put conditions on leaving something from our grapevines for others. They did that for people in need. And I believe that our teens will be doing the same thing for the Friends of the Homeless this year again. And they will be building Christian values in their lives, fulfilling that scripture. Now, one of the local teens here, Jordan Smith, she's going to go down to Guatemala this year with a Christian group doing a service project down there. And they're going to be helping out some of the most needy in our hemisphere. She'll be sacrificing time and comfort. She's going to be sacrificing out of her fields for people. And she'll just be doing this for a short time, but it's for people who have very little comfort, something that she can sacrifice for them. I know I'll just tell a little bit of story on my children because I'm kind of proud of it. But they both, at one point in time in their lives, and consistently do, but this one particular case, they wanted to help out, and they were talking about helping out the needy and doing something. So we started talking to them, and we came up with, through discussion, that, hey, the Akron Battered Women's Shelter is a great place to help. And so they wanted to help, and so my daughter did it first, and I think it was her sixth birthday. She said, well, why don't we have a birthday party, but instead of people bringing gifts, we'll tell them to bring stuff that we can donate to the battered women's shelter. I said, that's a great idea. So we called them and found out that, you know, like half the people that are actually living in the shelter are the children of the women who have come there. And so one of the things they needed was books, toys, after-school snacks, things like that. So that's what we asked people to bring. And we were actually able to take down bags and bags of stuff. And then Christian wanted to do it. And pretty much every year since then, it's kind of become part of our family where we try and do something, whatever it is, something a little different each year to help out the Akron Battered Women's Shelter. Now, I know I'm talking about some organizational type stuff there, but, I mean, there's plenty of people that we come in contact with every day in our lives that need help. So it doesn't have to be through an organization. It can just be, hey, I know this person and they need some help. Or how about something as simple as tips for a waitress. You know, waitresses, we don't know. I mean, one of them could be a widow. They could be raising children alone. Are we in the principle of not gleaning our fields, are we calculating the least amount we can give to somebody? Or are we, without feeling guilty, do we sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I sat here and I drank coffee for 2 hours in the restaurant, but, you know, 15% is exactly, 45 cents. So that's all I'm going to leave, even though she helped me for 2 hours. Are we trying to get out of, what's our attitude out of every relationship that we come across, out of every transaction in our life? Are we trying to get the absolute most out of it for ourselves and try and give as little as possible? Or are we looking for ways to leave something to help others with our time and resources? Again, brethren, these are just some examples. The opportunities to help others with our fields, with our time, and our resources are endless. So let's do what we can when we run across opportunities to do good for others. Now, answer this for yourselves, because only you and God know your situation. But in our day-to-day lives, do we try to glean every last thing from our fields that we can for ourselves? Or do we leave something for others? Are we tender-hearted towards other people's needs? If your Bible is not still open to Deuteronomy 24, I'd ask you to reopen it to it. Because I'd like to conclude by just reading verse 22 again. Deuteronomy 24, verse 22. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, and therefore I command you to do this thing.